Well, we're continuing our series that we began several weeks ago called Going to the Top. And as I've said before, I'll say it again today, that friend, God has got a miracle in His hands for your taking this year. He's wanting you to go higher and higher the ladder in your life until you begin reaching the top in different areas of your existence. And last week we talked about a spiritual key that will help bring you up higher and higher in your life, because God is wanting you to reach the top. What was that spiritual key that we talked about? If anybody was here. Loving God and loving people. Okay, obedience to God's commands, right? And it's found right in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And we're going to read verse 13. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail, if you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them. You will always be at the top, never at the bottom. God is wanting you to be always at the top and never at the bottom. He's wanting you and me to be the head and not the tail, the lender and not the borrower. But we've got to obey His commands. You see, obedience, like its opposite, is a magnet. The opposite of obedience is disobedience. And disobedience, like a magnet, attracts the curse into one's life. But that's the bad news. The good news is this. We want to talk about the good news. Obedience to God's commands is the magnet which attracts God's blessings into your life. And you can read this in Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14. The blessings of God that can come into your life if you obey the commands of the Lord your God. We talked about a prophet in the Old Testament who illustrated this point of disobedience and obedience. It was Jonah, right? It's a book that's four chapters long. And God told Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, but Jonah blatantly disobeyed God and went to Tarshish. He attracted the curse into his life. The curse was, eventually he found himself in the belly of a whale. And in the belly of the whale, Jonah chapter 2, he's crying out to God. He's repenting. He's like, God, if you give me another chance, I will obey you. So the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time in Jonah 3, verse 1, saying, go to Nineveh and preach to that nation repentance. And this time, Jonah obeyed the command of the Lord his God. He went to Nineveh. He preached to it. The entire nation of Nineveh repented and turned back towards God. And the blessing that was attracted in that sense was this. The nation of Nineveh was saved, and Jonah's life was spared. Amen? And friend, you may have disobeyed God in the past. You may have messed up. But you know what? We serve the God of a second chance, like with Jonah. The God of a third chance. The God of a fourth chance. I encourage you strongly today, obey what God is telling you to do. Now, when you read the Bible is full of a lot of good things. We have the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 20. So Jesus, in Matthew 22, in response to the question of a lawyer, says that the entire Old Testament is summed up in the two great commandments. The greatest commandment is this, Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. First one is, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, and your mind. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. You know, loving God and loving your neighbor is like a never-ending circle. As you love God, you develop that relationship with God. That love spills over into your relationship with your neighbor. And as you love your neighbor, it's evidence that you love God. And who is your neighbor? Luke chapter 10, Jesus defines it in the parable of the Good Samaritan. Your neighbor is anyone who is in need of your help. When you help the person in need, the person in greater need than yourself, that person is your neighbor. And you're demonstrating to that person that you are his or her neighbor. Amen?
Amen.
Well, today I want to talk to you about yet another spiritual principle that will help you go to the top of the ladder or the mountain in your life. How many here today feel that you're facing a mountain? An insurmountable mountain in your life. Some of us, right? All right. God is wanting you to go higher and higher until you reach the top. So the spiritual principle I want to talk about today is godly relationships. Hence the message today. Who are you hanging with? Who are you hanging with? Let's ask it together. Repeat with me. Who am I hanging with? That's good. Do you realize that the people you hang with, that you closely join yourself to, will bring you either lower or higher in life? Should I say it again? The people that you closely join yourself to will bring you either lower or higher in life. You will become like the people that you closely associate with. Let's see what Paul says concerning this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Let me give you kind of a historical overview of 1 Corinthians 15. Now, Corinth, the city he was writing to, was made up of many different types of people. You had the believers, the Christians, and you had the non-believers. Alright, so you had some people going around, false teachers, preaching false doctrine. They were teaching that there was no resurrection of the dead. And in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul the Apostle writes, he's defending that there is resurrection from the dead. He says there is such a thing. And he says this in verse 33. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Bad company corrupts good character. Now, let's read it from the Amplified Version. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. Do not be so deceived and misled. Evil companionships, communion, associations, corrupt and deprave good manners and morals and character. What does this say? Saying that the people you hang around with will bring you either lower or higher. The wrong company can take you lower spiritually. But the good news is that the opposite is also true. Good company, good relationships, improves your character. It enhances your spiritual walk with God. He says, don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good morals. But the opposite is true, amen? That good company, godly relationships do what? They improve your character. It increases your spiritual walk with the Almighty God. You agree with that? All right, so for the next few minutes, let's talk about going higher in different areas of your life. Spiritually, how many here want to go higher with God? How many want to deepen their relationship, their walk with the Almighty God? You know, as I said earlier, if you're hanging out with those who are weaker than you spiritually, they may pull you down. For instance, let's say you are a recovered drug addict or alcoholic. And you start closely joining yourself to someone who is dealing with alcoholism, who is abusing drugs. And you spend a lot of time with this person, and this person tempts you. Remember, your body is a temple of God. You've got to care for this body, and this person tempts you, and you get tempted and maybe start doing that alcohol or drugs again. And so that person is dragging you down spiritually. What should you do on the other hand? Don't associate with those people. Find somebody who is stronger than you in that area, because that person will lift you up. Now, 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 18. Paul writes about not being yoked with unbelievers. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? Verse 16. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. Amen? He says it. What fellowship does light have with darkness? Friends, you are light. You need to be closely joining yourselves with other people who are of the light of the gospel. People who are stronger than you spiritually. You want to go up in life? You want to go up in your walk with God, right? Then join yourself with stronger people. Now, how many remember about Saul's conversion experience in Acts chapter 9? We talked about this several months ago. Saul was a persecutor of Christians, all right? He was breathing out murderous threats against them. And one day he happened to be going to Damascus to persecute more Christians. And on his way to Damascus, a blinding light from heaven throws him to the ground. And he hears the audible voice of Jesus, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Saul responds, "Who are you, Lord?" He said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." And in verse 6, Saul says, "What do you want me to do, Jesus? Go into the city and it will be told you what you must do." And so Saul goes into the city and it's revealed to him that his spiritual calling in life was to bring the gospel to the lost. So in verse 20, he starts bringing the gospel to the lost in Damascus. Then in verse 26, he comes to Jerusalem. Let's read it. Acts 9:26. "When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was really a disciple." So they were having their doubts, right? They're like, this man was a persecutor of Christians. We don't really believe that he's changed. Verse 27, "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and how that the Lord had spoken to him and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus." So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. So the disciples, the apostles in Jerusalem had their doubts about Saul, right? But there was a key. What was the key in Saul's life at this point? This key had a name. What was that name? Verse 27. It was Barnabas. Saul was closely joined to Barnabas. See, Barnabas was stronger spiritually than Saul. So Barnabas told the disciples in Jerusalem, this is a changed man. So basically, by his association with Barnabas, he was able to advance in his spiritual calling in Jerusalem. Is that making sense? So how many here want to advance in your spiritual calling in life? You need to find some Barnabases to hang out with. Making sense? You need to pray, God, this is the prayer. You need to pray, God, who are you wanting me to closely join my life to? Let's say it together. God, who are you wanting me to closely join my life to? God, lead me to those who are stronger than me spiritually. And I guarantee if you pray this prayer, God will answer it in your life. Now, last night I watched a movie. It's a good movie. You get a chance, go to Blockbuster. It's, I think, a new release. It's called Touch the Top of the World. Guys, it is a great movie. It's an hour and a half long. It's the true story of the first blind man to climb Mount Everest. Anybody ever heard of this story?
I heard of it.
The guy's name is Eric Weinmeier. Let me tell you the story here. How many here want to hear the story? All right. Eric Weinmeier, as a little boy, was having problems with his eyesight. And so the doctors told his parents that he was going to go blind in his early teens. So he wakes up one morning at about 13 or 14 years old, and he's totally blind. He can't see anything. He's crying to his mom. Just totally blind. Can't see anything. And so he has this physical handicap in life, blindness. Well, the other negative thing that happens is that his mom later on was tragically killed in a car accident. But he did not allow his physical handicap to hold him back. He eventually becomes a teacher. He falls in love. He gets married. He has a child. And the opportunity is presented to Eric. His nickname was Super Blind. The opportunity was presented to this man to climb Mount Everest with a group of climbers. So he tells his wife about it. His wife is like, honey, I don't want you to do it. You'll be gone for 3 months. You're a husband. You're a father. I don't want you risking loss of your life. But he debates with her a little bit, and eventually she submits and lets him go. Friend, it's an amazing movie. So he's with a group of climbers climbing Mount Everest. Did you know that Mount Everest is the tallest mountain in the world? Over 200 people have lost their lives trying to climb the mountain. So basically, he's been given a debriefing session by the leader of the group saying that you're going to start at this camp, we're going to move to this camp, this camp, this camp. It's a three-month climb. Three-month climb, and the man is completely blind. And it's awesome. In the movie, you'll see him climbing from one section of the mountain to another section of the mountain over a ladder, just kind of going rung by rung by rung. Day after day, week after week, month after month, and he's eventually going higher and higher and higher up this mountain. Very, very risky. And he was a blind man doing this. And eventually, at the end of the movie, he summits Mount Everest. He gets to the top, and he is so excited. He made it, the first blind man to summit the tallest mountain in the world. He reached it. What was the key in his life? As I watched the movie, I was like, there is a key as to why this man was able to get to the top of the mountain. What was the key?
Faith.
Okay, faith. Anybody else?
Determination.
Determination. Okay, anybody else? Determination. That's true. He had a non-quitting spirit.
He never gave up.
He never gave up. Good. He was determined. He had a dream to climb this mountain. Determination. He had a dream. But he was closely joined to a group of mountain climbers who were stronger than him in the sense that they could physically see. And as the movie goes on, you see these guys, these mountain climbers that he's with saying, you can do it, Eric. You can go a little higher. You can make it. And as they're going up this mountain, the higher you go in altitude, the harder it is to breathe. So they have oxygen masks on. And he's telling him, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. He's with this group of people. And eventually he does it and makes it to the top. But the key was that he was closely joined to a group of men stronger than himself. So friend, are you facing a mountain in your life? Are you facing a mountain? You can climb it just like Eric climbed Mount Everest. But you've got to be joined to the right people. People stronger than yourself in different areas. Is that making sense? Financially, you can associate with two types of people. You can associate with somebody who is negative, talking about how bad the economy is, how high the unemployment rates are. And you know what? If you associate and closely join yourself to that type of person, it will rob you of motivation to go higher in your financial life. Or, on the other hand, you can find somebody who is doing well financially and is encouraging you, has a positive outlook, has got more knowledge than you in the area of finances. You find this person and say, sir, ma'am, could you mentor me? Speak into my life concerning my finances. And as you rub shoulders with this person, they will bring you higher and higher in this area of your life. Is that making sense? Maybe the mountain you're facing is in your health. Let me ask you this today. Are you closely associating with people who overeat and don't do anything physically? Or are you associating with people who have a good diet and exercise plan? Find somebody out there who's fit, who's exercising, who's going to the gym, who's running, who's walking, who's swimming, and say, hey, can I join you? Can you motivate me? Can you encourage me to exercise with you? And believe it or not, if you associate with those types of people, they will bring you up health-wise to the point where you will receive your physical healing. Relationship-wise, are you facing a mountain in your relationships? Maybe you've got broken relationships in your life. You can hang out. You can associate with one of two people. You can associate with somebody who is bitter and offended at everything that somebody says or does. And that bitter spirit can rub off on you. Or you can associate with whom? with someone who walks in a spirit of forgiveness so that you become better instead of bitter.
Amen.
That making sense? Find those that walk in a spirit of forgiveness. Emotionally, your mountain may be emotions. You might be in depression. You may talk to somebody. You may be associating with somebody that sees the cup as half empty and is negative about life. And so that person puts you deeper and deeper into depression. Or you can associate closely with somebody who sees the cup as half full. Is encouraging. You know what? Attitudes are contagious. They will rub off on you. Is that making sense?
Yeah.
Closely associating yourself with people stronger than you spiritually, financially, relationally, emotionally, in so many different areas of life. So you might be wondering today, well, where do I find these people, Jonathan? Where do I find these people? Did you know there's some people here at John 3:16 that are stronger than you in certain areas? Start building friendships. Start talking to these people. Start getting to know these people. Start building a relationship and pray and say, God, is this the person you want me to enter into relationship with? And God will speak to you. You know, you can go to Sunday morning church services somewhere here in Tulsa. Might be a small church. But did you know there's people in those churches that are stronger than you in some area? That if you just get to know them, they can help bring you up in life so that you can climb this mountain in your life. Furthermore, home Bible fellowships. How many here have ever been to a home Bible fellowship? There's churches in town that have home Bible fellowship cell groups that if you go to those, you get to know the people really well and you can find people there to build relationships with that will help take you up instead of down. So say it with me today. I want to go up in different areas of my life rather than down. But I've got to find people who are stronger than me in different areas of life. That's right. Pick you up. Remember this. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Bad company corrupts good morals. But on the other hand, the good news is that good company enhances, improves your character. That make sense? All right.